Atlantis and Mu. Extract from the 55th Contact Continuation, Monday the 14th of June 1976 at 5:53 p.m. Translation by Flower, 8th of June 2016. Billy, that should probably be enough for this question. Can you now tell me where Atlantis was actually located? Semyaze, I have wanted to tell you about that for a long time already. Atlantis was divided into two empires. Greater Atlantis was located between the split continents of America, South America, and Europe, Africa, while Lesser Atlantis was located in the area of Santorini. Greater Atlantis was destroyed through war feuds with the citizens of Mu, which was located in the Chinese Gobi Desert, and sank into the sea. But Mu was also eliminated and ceased to exist. Thus, only the subterranean city of Agharta was left. Lesser Atlantis was destroyed around 6,000 years later, indirectly by the gigantic destroyer, the Gigantic Comet, which dragged Venus into the solar system 3,500 years ago. Through the tremendous tremors from the destroyer racing past and with Venus in its wake, enormous damage was done on Earth. It shook, burst open in many places, and huge volcanoes erupted. One of them was the existing Santorini. It exploded and, in a wide circle, pulled various islands into the sea, while the sea began to bubble and a tsunami wave of around 2,000 meters high was created, which rolled over present-day Crete right up to Egypt and Syria. In those days, Crete was still called Minoa, and its citizens were descendants of Atlantis. Many of them were still able to flee to the Hellenic mainland and thus save themselves. Minoa continued to exist as an island, but most of the other islands of Lesser Atlantis, which were located around Santorini, sank. 16th Contact, Thursday, 8th July, 1976, 2:03 p.m. Billy, I just would like to sound you out thoroughly in regard to Atlantis and Mu. You have promised me already, more than a year ago, that you would give me enough information about it. In the meantime, concerning this question, you have probably made a few remarks, but you have not yet given exhaustive information and explanations. Semyaze, certainly. I explained to you at that time that I would inform you when the time is ripe for it. Billy, I know that, but isn't it time yet? Semyaze, the time has arrived to speak about it. Billy, it pleases me. Then go for it. I'm all ears. Semyaze, as I already explained at an earlier point in time, Atlantis and Mu destroyed one another. However, this was a peculiar case, and I have to begin to recount from a very early time. About 150,000 Earth years ago, after a very long time of wars and of uprisings, our home planets finally found peace and freedom. Many millennia before the creation of calmness, peace and freedom, however, a scientist called Pelagon made himself the leader of a group consisting of about 70,000 human beings, and with their help he appropriated numerous large spaceships and fled. As a great scientist, it was an easy thing for him to force this 70,000 strong group under his control and to bring them to Earth in a frantic escape through space and time. On board of his stolen spaceships were close to 200 very good scientists of the most varied fields of knowledge. From them, and also from the whole group, Pelagon was unanimously accepted as God, thus as king of wisdom and leader. During the following millennia, their descendants lived on the earth and built up a high culture. They built many and large cities and inhabited all continents of the earth. Their flourishing lasted close to 10,000 years. During this time, all went well, and everything found a very high level of development. However, before the 10,000 years were completed, dissatisfaction erupted again through the lust for might of some that were greedy for might, which led to deadly wars that made the entire earth tremble with wild war cries. An Earth world war took place to the extent as has never happened before and has not been brought to Earth since. Everything, but really completely everything that the ones who had come from space had built up, was destroyed and annihilated, and only a few thousand human beings of these extraterrestrials survived the tremendous catastrophe. These, however, fled with good and far-reaching spaceships out into space and settled on foreign worlds. Only a very small remnant remained on the destroyed Earth and degenerated completely, whereby they lived completely separated from the small group of Earth-born humans of that time. When after around 7,000 years, the distant descendants of the ones that fled came back to Earth, they therefore found only extremely wild and degenerated individuals of their forefathers, who lived, as said before, far away from the Earth human beings. The return of the descendants of the former fugitives happened again under the leadership of a god, under whose rule Mu, as well as Greater Atlantis and Lesser Atlantis, were built. At that time, Greater Atlantis and Mu were the two most gigantic cities which had ever been built on the Earth, and for the sake of peace, they were built on two different continents. Again, a high culture was built up, and everything began to blossom. During a few millennia, complete unity and peace prevailed before some scientists, in their greed for might, got out of the control of the good human nature again and, with all means available to them, tried to seize dominion. The peoples, however, with the distant memory of the wars of their forefathers, rose up against the might-craving scientists, so the scientists had to flee. Through some allies that were well disposed towards them, they were able to appropriate several spaceships and fled into outer space. Calculated in Earth years, this was a little more than 150,000 years ago. During the following tens of thousands of years, these evil-minded refugees lived in a different space and time configuration to our Pleiades, in a neighboring solar system, fathered many descendants, and developed a high technology which offered them tremendous possibilities. This technology, however, they furthered only in hatred and revenge because they thereby wanted to bring the Earth under their gewalt. Through their government, the hatred and pathological craving for revenge of the descendants was constantly stirred up and driven so far that in their own ranks, a certain order could be maintained only with very great effort and dreadful punishments. Thus, a people of malicious and bestial nature came into being. It was also their hatred through which the average life expectancy of these hate-filled human beings was driven up by means of research, gene manipulation, and through mutations, and so forth, so that, in the end, it amounted to several thousands of years. Each individual human being of this people was taught in the art of war, and in the most outrageous intrigues. After 2,000 years, these hateful people had progressed so far that an attack on the Earth could be considered. Thus, they got on their way, climbed on board of their large spaceships, and came to Earth. This was around 103,000 Earth years ago. Their leader was the Ishwish Arus, the barbarian, a scientist of extremely bestial disposition and of coercive might. For his help, he had appointed many scientists of most varied disciplines as deputies and sub-leaders, 200 in number. Suddenly and predatorily, they pounced on the Earth and stole new land for themselves. Thus, they were then able to colonize the north of America. It is the present-day Florida, which came to rest in the present-day South only due to a shift of the Earth. From there, they won a great might over the Earth for themselves, whereby they continuously fought Atlantis and Mu. Constantly, they pushed forward to Greater Atlantis and Mu in order to bring these cities into their possession with acts of war. Thus, for many further millennia, worldwide wars blazed before evil elements of the hate-filled human beings were able to infiltrate into the ruling elite of Atlantis and Mu, who secretly stirred up hatred and revolt until Greater Atlantis and Mu were completely destroyed through the intrigues, whereby few survivors went into servitude, while great scientists were able to flee with their spaceships and return to the former home worlds of our seven stars, being our Pleiades, which were settled by the earliest forefathers when they left their original home worlds in another space-time configuration in the Vega and Lyra region. However, the form in which Greater Atlantis and Mu were destroyed was of such intrigues and full of horror that in the history of the human beings of the Earth, it will probably never be paralleled. The intriguers stirred up malicious machinations between the Atlanteans and the citizens of Mu, which led to mutual actions of war. Between both arose malicious hatred and the will to destroy. Mu, which was in the Gobi Desert, feuded with Greater Atlantis, which was built in the Great Island Kingdom between present-day Africa and America, before it sank in the Atlantic due to the greatest earthly war catastrophe of all past and probably also future times, leaving behind only a few small islands, which today you call the Azores. At their time, the war powers of Mu and Atlantis were of horrendous might and size and equipped with the highest technical achievements. So, Greater Atlantis alone had at its disposal an army of 4.83 million men, which was equipped with small combat beam ships. Furthermore, the government of Atlantis commanded a giant fleet of 123,000 units of single-man destroyers, miniature beam ships for close Earth combat. In addition, there existed another 16,431 Eliminator units, miniature beam ships, which, through the effects of heat, were able to totally eliminate all material within fractions of a second. Finally, they were equipped also with 24,230 overkill beamers, each of which required 10 men to operate and were installed in mid-range beam ships. To this tremendous might, Mu was inferior, which, however, did not make it less dangerous for the greater Atlanteans, because the Mu scientists had likewise developed very dangerous weapons, which in many ways were even more dangerous and more destructive than everything of the Atlanteans altogether. The scientists of Mu had in fact discovered powers which made it possible for them to convert entire small planets into all-destroying space bombs, by pulling them out of their orbit of millions of years and with extreme precision steering them onto a carefully determined target of another planet and letting them crash down with devastating force and explode above the target. And it was exactly this frightful weapon they used when Greater Atlantis commenced the full-scale attack against Mu. The best and the most suitable scientists of Mu were charged with finding a suitable planetoid which could be used as a deadly and annihilating missile against Atlantis. Thus they flew with their ships out into space and found in the asteroid belt outside of the Mars orbit an object suitable for their purpose. It was a planetoid of several kilometers diameter. However, we are not able to analyze its exact size anymore. By means of atomic and electro-energetic energies, it was thrown out of its orbit and brought onto course towards Earth. After that, the planetoid's own rotation was slowed down and brought to a standstill, whereupon, on the side turned away from the Earth, a drive unit of gigantic size was installed for the purpose of a tremendous acceleration of the small planet, which was supposed to be directed to its destination with breakneck speed. Only less than half a day before the full-scale attack of Atlantis against Mu, the deadly space bomb was completed, a death messenger of human insanity and of tremendous consequence. When Atlantis undertook the attack, the producers of the death missile were informed, within a few seconds, by means of hyperwave impulses, about the oncoming events and were charged with allowing the death missile to take off. A few seconds after receiving the command, on the side of the planetoid facing away from the Earth, 1,000 suns appeared to race into the dark space and with gigantic force, the monster started moving. Very quickly, the speed of the messenger of death increased. Steered by scientists controlling the monster, who were sitting on the planetoid completing their task and thereby were doomed to die. In the meantime, on the Earth, the Atlanteans eliminated the city of Mu and leveled it. Whoever had not fled into the satellite cities thousands of meters deep underground or into space perished in the totally eliminating rays of the Atlanteans, and nothing bore witness anymore to their former existence. The victorious Atlanteans, however, returned to their gigantic island kingdom and celebrated their victory achieved over Mu in a true delirium of joy. However, their joy did not last long because they had barely begun their festivities when messages came thick and fast in regard to the danger rushing towards them through space. Only a few high government officials and scientists were still able to clear out and flee with their spaceships into space before the catastrophe was unleashed over Atlantis and made it sink into the sea. The ones left behind and doomed to die saw the disaster racing towards them, high in the sky, and far in the northwest above the sea and the far continent. As if out of nothing, a dark celestial body suddenly appeared, which advanced at frantic speed with its far side blasting off blinding light. The Colossus came rushing in quite low and in a few seconds turned into a giant. First, only visible like a small shooting star, in a few seconds it turned into a gigantic size with a fiery tail. Fascinated and transfixed, saucer-eyed from fright, the human beings stared towards the monster, which so completely silently sped towards them, then, however, suddenly gave an unbearable howling sound as it plunged into and rubbed against the first levels of the atmosphere of the Earth. 2 seconds later, the planetoid began to glow like a supernova and created a heat of more than 340,000 degrees. In a split second, vast areas of country burnt to smoldering ash when the enormous heat fell down from the speeding giant. Then the space bomb suddenly exploded at less than 172 kilometers altitude and transformed into many thousands of small and larger meteorites, which, like small atomic bombs, were catapulted to Earth and with devastating impact destroyed everything that got in the way and which was in the areas of impact and shock waves. Through the tremendous explosion, the whole Earth was shaken and the thunder of the explosion rolled around the entire globe. The planet was shaken badly and many volcanoes erupted out of it. 2 large parts of the exploding planetoid crashed like titanic fists into the Atlantic and pierced through the hard crust of the Earth on the bottom of the ocean. It was as if the world was going under, because the power of the impact of the debris was greater than many hydrogen bombs such as you insanely possess today. Deep in the ocean, The Earth's crust was torn apart and the way opened for the boiling hot and glowing magma of the inner Earth, which now viscously poured out. The seawater began to bubble and to boil, and the vaporizing masses of water shot up into the atmosphere up to 35,000 meters high. Through all this happening, the wild ocean was thrown up into a gigantic tsunami wave, which surged forward with frantic speed and a height of 2,300 meters, pulled along everything and simply let an entire country sink into the water, or at least destroyed whatever was in its path. The island empire of Atlantis, however, sank within a few minutes in the raging waters of the Atlantic, without even leaving one single surviving life form behind. The capital city, which was built like a beam ship, was torn into several pieces and sank with the foundation. This is how the event with Atlantis and Mu unfolded about 9,500 years before today's calendar. Billy. Fantastic. But where from do you have this knowledge? Semyaze. It was handed down to us. Billy. Phenomenal. But you said just a moment ago that these events belong to the past 9,500 years before our calendar, as you say. Is this date exact? Semyaze. Certainly. Up to 2 years exactly. Calculated back, it is exactly 9,498 years before the start of the current calendar. If you go from the year 2000, then it is exactly 11,498 years. Billy. I can't believe it. Semyaze. You doubt my information? Billy. Certainly not. But just look at this. Here, I have received a magazine article from one of our group members. In that, a man named Otto Mach, a German physicist, has calculated that Atlantis must have been destroyed at exactly 7 p.m. on the 6th of June of the year 8498 BC, and indeed precisely as you have just told it, only that he thinks that it was a purely cosmic catastrophe. Semyaze, that does not surprise me. Billy, so, and why not? This man has, after all, calculated everything very precisely, up to the year exactly, only that he erred by 1,000. Semyaze, sure, that is a miscalculation because he relied on information which is incorrect by years. Additionally, he assumes that through the Mu Atlantis events, Noah's flood was triggered, which is not true. Billy, that is known to me. However, I really thought that you would be surprised about the calculation and explanation, which in my opinion is very remarkable. Semyaze, why should I? The explanations of this Earth human being, Mach, are very well known to us. Also, the fact that he, apart from the calculation of the year, is very close to the truth in certain things. But he must indeed know this, because only through one of his earlier personalities were the legends about Atlantis recorded in writing for posterity for the first time 2,322 years ago. Billy, you are driving me crazy. You actually think that one of the earlier personalities of this Mach was the former Plato? Semyaze, I do not think so. We know it very exactly. Here, just draw a comparison with these two pictures. Here is a bust of Plato and here is the picture of Otto Mach. Does anything stand out for you? Billy, man, girl, that fits. Both of them are almost the same faces. Consequently, Otto Mach must still today show a relationship with his former existence. Semyaze, certainly. Since then, it has been inherited down through one family lineage. Billy, that is really fantastic, if that man knew it. Semyaza, unfortunately, he is not very responsive to such things. Billy, thank you. But in the past, you had told me that you would answer the question regarding Atlantis and Mu only when the time is ripe for it. However, today you have given me the answer, and I cannot detect that the time is ripe for it. How can I recognize it? Semyaza, that is very simple. For many years now, we have been keeping an eye on Otto Muck, who also has been inspired by us to certain things. First, he was supposed to go public informatively on a large scale with the results of his research in order to prepare the human beings of Earth for the full truth about the events surrounding Atlantis and Mu at that time. This he has done on one hand through a book and on the other hand also through the newspaper article that you have shown me. Thereby the ground is prepared to reveal the complete truth. Today I wanted to tell you about the events surrounding Atlantis and Mu anyway, but you beat me to it with your question. Billy, I see. Then I jumped the gun somewhat. Semyaza, that is not so. But for now, farewell and goodbye. Extract from the 219th contact, Tuesday the 16th of June 1987 at 1:30 a.m. Billy, then this would also be clear. So therefore the next question, and namely about Atlantis. If I remember correctly, then Semyaza told me once that not only two Atlantises have existed, just the Greater Atlantis and the Lesser Atlantis. Do you know anything about that? Quetzal, yes. There used to be four different Atlantises. So the New Atlantis, beyond the Pillars of Hercules, between the Azores and Spain. Then there was Lesser Atlantis, which used to exist in the Mediterranean in the area of Santorini. And furthermore, there is Old Atlantis, to be named, on which later, after its demise, Troy was built, while Greater Atlantis existed in the Atlantic Ocean. The Atlanteans of Greater Atlantis were the rulers over all four Atlantises and their peoples, because all of them were of the same origin. Thus there existed a central government whereby the administration of the different Atlantises happened through delegates who were called Litent. Now a word about the name Pleiades. Originally, the Pleiaren referred to themselves as Pleiadians, so that fraudsters and deceivers who would later also claim to be in contact with Pleiadians could be exposed. The Pleiades star cluster in our space-time configuration is too young to support life. The Pleiaren is a true star system whence Svarth, Ptah, Semyaza and the other Pleiaren originate, and it is situated in a different space-time configuration to ours. And now to explain the word Gewalt. From the 488th contact between Ptah and Billy, Monday the 22nd of February 2010. Ptah, what you have just said corresponds exactly to what was explained to me by our linguists. In addition, I was taught that the Latin term violent dates back to the old Lyran filent, which means violent. The term was further changed in the course of time and was incorporated into other languages also in falsifying manner, and was interpreted in delusion as Gewalt. But Gewalt has nothing to do with violent and violence, because the old Lyran term in relation to Gewalt means Gewiele, and this is defined as using all available coercing means, powers based in the psyche, mind and consciousness, capabilities and skills in order to carry out and wield monstrous, immense, tremendous actions and deeds. This is the definition of Gewalt as it is explained by our linguists. Two examples from the Kelch. First example, chapter 3, number 2. Gewalt of forgiveness. Example number 2, chapter 3, number 181, with evil Gewalt. That concludes this reading of Atlantis and Mu. Thank you for listening.